for a little chat about how nature can help our mental health. Right now, nature is so important to so many people. No matter what's going on in the world, nature still continues with doing its thing, doesn't it? Nature seems to be thriving at the moment, so what can we as humans learn from nature? Well, nature connects us with the natural world. I'm sure you've noticed the natural world around you more intensely since lockdown started. Now, I've spoken with many people across the globe in the past few weeks, and something became acutely aware to me about how people are noticing things they never took much notice of before. This may be because of restrictions in our liberty, or it could be due to the necessary changes in our lives and lifestyle. There are no aeroplanes above in the sky, much less traffic on the roads, if any, and fewer people out and about. Pollution is decreasing in the sea and the air is cleaner. Nature seems to be reclaiming certain areas of the world with a lack of people around too. I listened to Chris Packham the other day about his experiences since lockdown, and it made me think, gosh, yes, that is just so true. On a personal note, I'm very closely attuned with the natural world and I spend a lot of time in it, mostly in solitude. However, in recent times, I know that I've become more intensely aware of my surroundings, and in particular, nature has been such a solace to me. If you live in a part of the island near to the sea, you may have heard the sea more clearly as the waves lap the shore, or indeed if you live elsewhere, there are things you may have sensed are somehow stronger or louder, like the bird song and the colours of nature. For example, I've listened to the wind, watched how it swirls around in my garden, smelled its fragrance and felt its power rush past me. That was such an excellent feeling to have. On the Isle of Wight, we're blessed with beautiful surroundings, aren't we? Countryside, wildness, rivers, sea, and a plethora of fauna and flora. Now, David Strayer from the University of Utah has a great quote. Here it is. The opportunity to balance all of our technology with time spent in nature, unplugged from digital devices, has the potential to rest and restore our brains, improve our productivity, reduce our stress levels, and make us feel better. Nature also soothes us, and it gives us solace, doesn't it? Nature's soothing, it creates a peaceful retreat from the fast-paced world we live in. Though it's not fast-paced at the moment, we're living in restrained circumstances from our usual lives, aren't we? And this creates other pressures on our mental and physical health. So many people I've spoken to in the past few weeks have described to me how nature and being outdoors has helped them to manage the changes in their lives. Some people have discovered a love for their gardens, other people their ponds, or the wildlife in their gardens. This is such a positive thing to hear, so many positive things out of a somewhat negative global situation. The other thing is that nature restores and heals us. During these surreal times, nature can help us humans to come to terms a little with the recent and somewhat profound changes. Liberty, if you think about it, is something which may not have occurred to you as being an important part of your life. However, the last couple of months or so have changed many people's mindsets, and this is likely to affect many people's mental health and well-being. Now, over the years, there have been many scientific studies around the effects of nature on human physical and mental health and well-being. It's proven that nature enhances your health and well-being, and it can assist in enabling people to even heal and improve their lives. Time in nature increases our ability to pay attention to ourselves and our surroundings we find ourselves in. Now, on the island, there are several organisations dedicated to nature and human interactions and how nature can assist in the recovery of people who've faced many types of adversity and who live with certain illnesses and disorders. I've had the pleasure of being both a volunteer and a member of staff with one of these organisations, and I feel so honoured to have been part of caring for others with a variety of health and social needs. Please visit naturetherapyonline.com for information about some great ideas and resources on how to build your resilience through creating sensory experience. Nature is such a healer, isn't it? I adore nature and I feel so at home in it. And finally, a short quote which for me summarises nature's connection with humans. Clemens G. Arve, in their book Healing Code of Nature, said, "Being in nature is not only inspiring, it also has medical and psychotherapeutic potential. By experiencing nature, we place our body in the original functional circle, made of humans and the environment from which we emerged. We put two matching puzzle pieces together, us and nature into one whole. Not lovely? Now for a little chat about living with existing mental health issues in current times. Keeping a hold on your own mental health is something which is so important at the moment. Recognising when you're not so well and doing something about it is so important too. If you already have a mental health issue prior to the pandemic, then you may already have learned to manage your mental health and found ways of coping, and also learned skills to help yourself in times of need. However, having to follow even more restricted lives than normal might potentially upset your delicate balance of day-to-day life. Usual support services and groups aren't currently meeting in the normal way. Therapy sessions aren't as usual, and of course everyone's usual support network is disrupted significantly. Not being able to physically be with people closely connected to you if they're not living with you is a hard thing to contend with too, especially if you're a tactile person who need hugs from others, for example. So what can you do to support your health and others right now? Well, there are so many things I can think of, but here are some simple tips from the Mental Health Foundation. Try and do the basics when you can. By this I mean keeping your existing daily pattern or routine as far as possible, or if this isn't possible, think about creating a new one. Try to accept that you're worthy of support. You are important. You have so much to offer, and if you do need support from others, please reach out and ask for help. I know it might be difficult for you to ask for help, but please do. Others are there to help. Make a plan for what to do should you become unwell. Connect with your professionals involved with your care and ask them how services have or will be changing due to the current pandemic. Make sure you communicate this plan with somebody close to you who may assist you to access services, say for example if you weren't well enough to do this for yourself. Now the current ways of working may be different from usual. So important to know what's changed because this may assist you with understanding what's going on around you at the time. The next thing to do is to try and build a close circle of support. Now you may already have one of these. Practical and emotional support is crucial to managing everything, isn't it? And at the current time, this might be more on a virtual level than usual. Why not offer your support to others in your circle as well? That will help both you and the other person you're supporting. If you have a pet, please count them in your circle of support. They're non-judgmental and I do believe they listen. Certainly mine does. Try to build and maintain connections with others. You may already have developed connections with others and may be able to manage periods of isolation. We all need other people to connect with at some point. We're social animals as humans, and it may be that some people are not feeling well enough to stay connected. Not being able to go out and follow usual daily routines can affect some people in quite a profound way because it might remind them, for example, of times being restricted for other reasons like being in hospital or something. So please look out for each other. Having a chat, even if it's a brief one, is so helpful. The next thing is trying to lean on your experience of coping in the past. We all have life experiences. We've all had times of challenge in the past. And at those times, we may have surprised ourselves as to how we manage in times of such adversity. Try and recall how you managed those times. Is there anything from then that could help you now? I have an emotional first aid box for such times. I spoke about emotional first aid in the Stay Healthy Hour a few weeks ago. Now, in my emotional first aid box are things that I know will assist me to manage my thoughts and feelings and assist me to recover. Most of the things in my box are sensory related, so things to listen to touch, to smell, and to watch. Do you have such a box? What would you put in it if you haven't got one? Could you make one for someone else, perhaps? The next thing really is try to express yourself to others and in private. I know this is a really individual thing, and some people readily are able to talk about their feelings whilst others find it so difficult. I was speaking to someone a couple of weeks ago who said that she felt more relaxed about discussing past mental health issues using video links rather than being face to face with someone, and that she wished she'd had this option when she had her issues, as she may have done more about it at the time. And that made me think about the challenges with my own mental health in the past few years, and I wondered if I would have made the connections with others using a virtual method. On reflection, that might have been helpful to me, I feel. Also, writing your feelings down is a useful way of acknowledging how you feel. You don't need to share it with anybody if you don't want to. I know several people who've been writing a daily blog or a diary, and they say it's helping them on a daily basis to share in a personal way how they feel. The next thing is to try and limit your exposure to the news. Now, there's so much information around. It seems to come from everywhere. It seems to bombard us. And some of it can be triggering for some people. On a personal level, I limit my time with relation to the news and also social media, as it does affect my mental health. So I only use trusted websites and media routes. And I find this personally helps me immensely. And finally, really, stay in the moment if you can. Remaining in the here and now can be uncomfortable. Indeed, it can be quite painful at times. Worry, anxiety about what's going on is not something which is nice to experience, but it does make us aware of our surroundings and enables us to plan our daily lives, however different they may be from our usual ones. It is helpful to respect the past and what it means, and to pass each minute, every hour and day as a new opportunity. Though we are restricted now, it won't be forever. So in summary, and on a personal level, the most important thing is to stay connected with others, use the support networks you have, and acknowledge your feelings as they are reality to you. Forgive yourself and take care of yourself. It'll help you to move and work through any issues that arise. Stay well, everyone. You are very important. Now for some caring for yourself and looking out for others. I was once told something which has stuck in my mind and I cannot forget. In order to care for others, you have to care for yourself first. It's kind of like the analogy of putting your own oxygen mask on before that of others on an airplane in dire circumstances. I know we're not currently on a plane or on land, however, the principles remain the same. Caring for yourself if you're caring for someone else too is a complex scenario, one which occurs 365 days of the year for those who are carers to others. Caring for yourself involves self-care, doesn't it? The importance of self-care cannot be underestimated, and we need to be very aware of our own needs. Self-care is something which is a very broad subject. It's essentially about looking after your physical and mental health and well-being. So eating, drinking, hygiene, sleeping, mobility are key parts of that. Self-care is something which is definitely not selfish. If you burn out, you won't be able to help anyone else, including yourself. Self-care is about being responsible to yourself. Elizabeth Sullivan wrote about self-care, and she said, "Our bodies and souls are our primary tool for being alive. I think of self-care as the responsible care and attention of our mechanism for life, giving us the capacity to work and love. We were given this beautiful instrument, our bodies, and we must care for it." Now, I have some tips on self-care next. Number one, make a menu for the week. Eat when you're hungry and stop when you're full. Number two, sleep when you are tired. Number three, allow yourself to feel your feelings. Write down five things every day you're grateful for. Number four, develop a self-care plan for yourself and stick to it. A self-care plan can enhance your health and well-being, manage your stress levels, and enable you to sustain positive self-care practice. Number five, immerse yourself in nature for half an hour every day. Even sitting in your garden or looking out the window is helpful. Number six, do something new as often as possible. Number seven, stay connected with people, whether virtually or by other means. This builds your sense of connectedness and belonging with others. And number eight, do something every day that makes you feel good. In summary, self-care is something that shows you as an individual matter and that your needs matter too. Treating ourselves with compassion helps us to treat others with compassion too. Please take care of yourself. You are important not only to others, but yourself too.